All right. So welcome, everyone. Today is day 21, and it's our last day of these beautiful, amazing, wonderful, transformative, just such precious Corona Miracles Healing Zoom Circles. And the prompt that came in yesterday actually was a question from Alexandra, and she's here. And she just sent me a text and asking, what would I suggest for her to read for Easter, from the book, she said, I don't know the book so well. And I'm like, I'm not sure. You mean which book? And she meant the Course in Miracles, that's what she was referring to. So, I said, yeah, that's a great question. Let me get back to you. So then I was prompted to look at that and see what was there. And, the timing is so perfect, right? Today is Thursday and Good Friday and then the resurrection, right? So, but you have to understand, this is not what I was raised in. So this is not something I know much about, in a sense. And maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a good thing. But in a sense, it's the Last Supper. And my friend, Shawn Michael, he's here. And he reminded me that in the Last Supper, Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet, their feet. And so that was a beautiful symbol. So my desire, as you've helped me step into this medicine, into ministry, all of you, and many who are not here today but have been responding through the emails and have showed up, everyone has really supported me in this beautiful step that I don't think I would have been able to take. So just your welcome and all of that. My gratitude, I want this experience to be a washing, a washing away of ideas we might have had of the crucifixion and a strengthening of the resurrection in our minds. And so we're going to do it by first, I'm going to share, we're going to have a video from the text about the crucifixion. Then we're going to have a short little video from David about the resurrection. And we're going to have music from my friend, Shawn Michael. So just sit back. And I'm inviting you to just imagine in your mind an altar where you're putting all your ideas of crucifixion, all of them there. Just everything from childhood, everything from past learning, just putting it all there. And letting the spirit and love wash it away into the true message of Easter, which is one of joy and healing and resurrection. And that is my desire. So we're just going to trust spirit is in charge, and we're just going to let love lead the way. So we'll start with Shawn Michael. Okay, so I'm just going to unmute Shawn. Okay. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Love, find your brothers and sisters. They have strayed from here to a foreign land. You will find them cold and afraid, lost in a world they have made. Yet the light still shines deep within them, and hope lives on as a faded memory. A promise that was made long ago. Love, find your brothers and sisters. They have called for love in the darkness of the night. To open the doorway to freedom. Heal their broken hearts and lift them from the bonds of hatred. return to love once more. Bring them home to live in the heart of God, to live once more in love. Bring them home where love made them, where love still remains. Love, find your brothers and sisters and tell them you were sent here by love to reveal the truth in all. Love is who they are, and the light will always shine within them, and love will bring everyone home to the fullness of love within. Bring them home to live in the heart of God, to live once more in love. Bring them home where love made them, where love still remains. Knocking at your door, peace and joy is shining through you now. Come and live in harmony. Love, find your brothers and sisters. They have strayed from here to a foreign land. You will find them cold and afraid, lost in a world they have made. Yet the light still shines deep within them, and hope lives on as a faded memory, a promise that was made long ago. Bring them home.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Thank you. Hi, can everyone still hear me? Yeah. Okay. Okay, it looks like someone started, maybe Graham, some screen share.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, it was me, I pressed the wrong button.
Yeah, okay. I don't
know. Okay. Okay. Stop. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay, no worries, no worries. Okay, thank you, thank you. Okay, so I'm gonna show this video that's taken. It's there's the message of crucifixion. It's chapter 6, section 1, and it's a retranslation actually, of the crucifixion. And you could read it on your own, but I thought watching the video, because they take like footage and have actors and people playing, you know, Jesus and the whole crucifixion scene, all that. And I think it's just good for us to like start with those images, because that's what we want the healing. We want the healing of that. If there's, you know, any ideas of that, like let us allow for a washing away. So I will start by sharing that video first. Okay, you can all see the screen right now. Okay, I'm going to start it, and then we'll test the sound.
It's like playing by Braille. You have supposed to... The message of the crucifixion.
Is that sound okay for everyone? Good? Okay, perfect. All right, so this is about 13 minutes long. We'll watch this.
For learning purposes, let us consider the crucifixion again. I did not dwell on it before because of the fearful connotations you may associate with it. The only emphasis laid upon it so far has been that it was not a form of punishment. Nothing, however, can be explained in negative terms only. There is a positive interpretation of the crucifixion that is wholly devoid of fear and therefore wholly benign in what it teaches, if it is properly understood. The crucifixion is nothing more than an extreme example. Its value, like the value of any teaching device, lies solely in the kind of learning it facilitates. It can be, and has been, misunderstood. This is only because the fearful are apt to perceive fearfully. I have already told you that you can always call on me to share my decision and thus make it stronger. I have also told you that the crucifixion was the last useless journey the sonship need take, and that it represents release from fear to anyone who understands it. While I emphasized only the resurrection before, the purpose of the crucifixion and how it actually led to the resurrection was not clarified then. Nevertheless, it has a definite contribution to make to your own life, and if you will consider it without fear, it will help you understand your own role as a teacher. You have probably reacted for years as if you were being crucified. This is a marked tendency of the separated, who always refuse to consider what they have done to themselves. Projection means anger. Anger fosters assault, and assault promotes fear. The real meaning of the crucifixion lies in the apparent intensity of the assault of some of the sons of God upon another. This, of course, is impossible and must be fully understood as impossible. Otherwise, I cannot serve as a model for learning. Assault can ultimately be made only on the body. There is little doubt that one body can assault another and can even destroy it. Yet if destruction itself is impossible, anything that is destructible cannot be real. Its destruction, therefore, does not justify anger. To the extent to which you believe that it does, you are accepting false premises and teaching them to others. The message the crucifixion was intended to teach was that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault in persecution, because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and are therefore regarding yourself insanely. I have made it perfectly clear that I am like you and you are like me, but our fundamental equality can be demonstrated only through joint decision. You are free to perceive yourself as persecuted if you choose. When you do choose to react that way, however, you might remember that I was persecuted as the world judges and did not share this evaluation for myself. And because I did not share it, I did not strengthen it. I therefore offered a different interpretation of attack, and one which I want to share with you. If you will believe it, you will help me teach it. As I have said before, as you teach, so shall you learn.
Are you tired of the media spinning the truth and pushing false narratives? Well, take a look at this.
If you react as if you are persecuted, you are teaching persecution. This is not a lesson a son of God should want to teach if he is to realize his own salvation. Rather, teach your own perfect immunity, which is the truth in you, and realize that it cannot be assailed. Do not try to protect it yourself, or you are believing that it is assailable. You are not asked to be crucified, which was part of my own teaching contribution. You are merely asked to follow my example in the face of much less extreme temptations to misperceive and not to accept them as false justifications for anger. There can be no justification for the unjustifiable. Do not believe there is, and do not teach that there is. Remember always that what you believe, you will teach. Believe with me, and we will become equal as teachers. Your resurrection is your reawakening. I am the model for rebirth, but rebirth itself is merely the dawning on your mind of what is already in it. God placed it there himself, and so it is true forever. I believed in it, and therefore accepted it as true for me. Help me to teach it to our brothers in the name of the kingdom of God. But first believe that it is true for you, or you will teach amiss. My brothers slept during the so-called agony in the garden, but I could not be angry with them, because I knew I could not be abandoned. I am sorry when my brothers do not share my decision to hear only one voice, because it weakens them as teachers and as learners. Yet I know they cannot really betray themselves or me, that it is still on them that I must build my church. There's no choice in this, because only you can be the foundation of God's church. A church is where an altar is. The presence of the altar is what makes the church holy. A church that does not inspire love has a hidden altar that is not serving the purpose for which God intended it. I must found his church on you, because those who accept me as a model are literally my disciples. Disciples are followers. And if the model they follow has chosen to save them pain in all respects, they are unwise not to follow him. I elected, for your sake and mine, to demonstrate that the most outrageous assault, as judged by the ego, does not matter. As the world judges these things, but not as God knows them, I was betrayed, abandoned, beaten, torn, and finally killed. It was clear that this was only because of the projection of others onto me, since I had not harmed anyone and had healed many. We are still equal as learners, although we do not need to have equal experiences. The Holy Spirit is glad when you can learn from mine and be reawakened by them. That is their only purpose, and that is the only way in which I can be perceived as the way, the truth, and the life. When you hear only one voice, you are never called on to sacrifice. On the contrary, by being able to hear the Holy Spirit in others, you can learn from their experiences and can gain from them without experiencing them directly yourself. That is because the Holy Spirit is one, and anyone who listens is inevitably led to demonstrate his way for all. You are not persecuted, nor was I. You are not asked to repeat my experiences because the Holy Spirit, whom we share, makes this unnecessary. To use my experiences constructively, however, you must still follow my example in how to perceive them. My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable. My one lesson, which I must teach as I learned it, is that no perception that is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. I undertook to show this was true in an extreme case, merely because it would serve as a good teaching aid to those whose temptation to give in to anger and assault would not be so extreme. I will with God that none of his sons should suffer. The crucifixion cannot be shared because it is the symbol of projection. But the resurrection is the symbol of sharing, because the reawakening of every son of God is necessary to enable the sonship to know its wholeness. Only this is knowledge. The message of the crucifixion is perfectly clear.
See that bright brain full of activity? That's a healthy 18-year-old brain. Mine is the other one.
Teach only love, for that is what you are. If you interpret the crucifixion in any other way, you are using it as a weapon for assault rather than as the call for peace for which it was intended. The apostles often misunderstood it, and for the same reason that anyone misunderstands it. Their own imperfect love made them vulnerable to projection, and out of their own fear they spoke of the wrath of God as his retaliatory weapon. Nor could they speak of the crucifixion entirely without anger, because their sense of guilt had made them angry. These are some of the examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament, although its gospel is really only the message of love. If the apostles had not felt guilty, they never could have quoted me as saying, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." This is clearly the opposite of everything I taught. Nor could they have described my reactions to Judas as they did, if they really understood me. I could not have said, "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" unless I believed in betrayal. The whole message of the crucifixion was simply that I did not. The punishment I was said to have called forth upon Judas was a similar mistake. Judas was my brother and a son of God, as much a part of the sonship as myself. Was it likely that I would condemn him when I was ready to demonstrate that condemnation is impossible? As you read the teachings of the apostles, remember that I told them myself that there was much they would understand later, because they were not wholly ready to follow me at the time. I do not want you to allow any fear to enter into the thought system toward which I am guiding you. I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers. No one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. Any concept of punishment involves the projection of blame and reinforces the idea that blame is justified. The result is a lesson in blame, for all behavior teaches the beliefs that motivate it. The crucifixion was a result of clearly opposed thought systems, the perfect symbol of the conflict between the ego and the Son of God. This conflict seems just as real now, and its lessons must be learned now as well as then. I do not need gratitude, but you need to develop your weakened ability to be grateful, or you cannot appreciate God. He does not need your appreciation, but you do. You cannot love what you do not appreciate, for fear makes appreciation impossible. When you are afraid of what you are, you do not appreciate it, and will therefore reject it. As a result, you will teach rejection. The power of the sons of God is present all the time because they were created as creators. Their influence on each other is without limit, and must be used for their joint salvation. Each one must learn to teach that all forms of rejection are meaningless. The separation is the notion of rejection. As long as you teach this, you will believe it. This is not as God thinks, and you must think as he thinks if you are to know him again. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the communication link between God the Father and his separated sons. If you will listen to his voice, you will know that you cannot either hurt or be hurt, and that many need your blessing to help them hear this for themselves. When you perceive only this need in them and do not respond to any other, you will have learned of me and will be as eager to share your learning as I am.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. I'm Joshua.
Okay. Sorry about those ads. I could not. Okay. So that was heavy. There was a lot there. There was a lot of information. We're going to follow it up with a short clip from David talking about Easter. It's like about 4 minutes long. And then I want to share a little bit more and kind of have a song, a little meditation. So we're just going to take our time with this, right? You know, just allow it. Just allow it. Nothing you have to do, nothing you have to fix or analyze. Just let it wash over you. Okay, so let me get the other recording here.
Yeah, I think Easter too.
Okay, can you see this and hear it okay? Yeah? Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's just go back a little.
Yeah, I think Easter too, it's really an opportunity to have a resurrection in the mind, in A Course in Miracles terms, to accept the atonement, which is really the end of the belief in sacrifice. It's only this ego belief in sacrifice that has tainted and colored even the crucifixion story somehow that there was the Son of God that had to sacrifice his life for the sins of mankind and so forth. That sacrifice belief has tainted everything. It's even tainted the events and the story, in a sense, it's a misinterpretation of the meaning that was being taught through the resurrection, which is just one of pure innocence, one of knowing your I Am presence, knowing that you are a perfect child of God. A beautiful message, really, that was intended, and then the ego with its upside down perception has twisted even the events surrounding the crucifixion and the resurrection. What we'd like to do is start to have a greater and greater awareness that everything is mind. So there's a part in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says, you have reacted for years as if you are being crucified. What does he mean by that? Every time we get upset, we feel unfairly treated. We feel somebody has cheated us or not given us the attention that we deserve. Any kind of sense of misgiving, any kind of irritation, annoyance, any kind of grievance or long-standing grievance is reacting as if you're being crucified, which is just reacting as if the belief in sacrifice is real. Somehow that somebody's going to have to pay for this somewhere down the line. And oftentimes that's part of the upside down kind of perception of Jesus, somehow that he had to give his life as a ransom for the sins of mankind. Even that word ransom involves paying. You know, someone's got to pay. Someone's got to pay for the wrongdoing, for the price of separation. And really what we're learning is that the separation is a false belief that has to just be completely released, as does sacrifice, because God doesn't know of sacrifice. God doesn't know of condemnation. And even from the Aramaic, sin was defined as missing the mark. Not a black mark on your soul, but missing the mark. And if you were using a target analogy, you know, the point would be to hit the mark, to hit the target. And so our focus is not on missing anything or missing the mark, but it's on hitting the target, which is our correction in mind. We're not trying to denier, it's to go so deeply into it together to have an experience that the error is not real. We are not bound by error. We are free in truth, but not bound by error.
All right, there's some new people that were waiting to enter. So yeah, welcome. Welcome, Maria. Welcome, Siska. Sorry, we were, here's someone else. Okay, Gentiana. Yeah, welcome. So this is funny, you know, Zoom has this waiting thing and I was concerned if I started to do that, I would lose the screen. We shared a video about the message of the crucifixion retranslated based on the Course in Miracles, and then a follow-up video with David Hofmeister talking about the message of Easter. And so really today we're gathering, allowing Spirit, God, the Divine to help us re-understand, retranslate. And so I will put the links into the video so you can always go back and, you know, here's someone else coming in, okay. You can go back and listen to them. But I just wanted to share a story that I, just a personal experience, and then I'm going to turn it over to Sean and invite him to, share a song with us, and then we'll go into a meditation. So when I was in the space of having a lot of this chronic pain experience, at one point, I was really deeply working with these teachings and reaching out. I was doing the MMT training and Patty Fields, you know, was one of my teachers. And so really just reaching out and connecting. And I'd really come to that space of like there wasn't more physical that I could do. Like I was very aware that there was something in the mind that needed to be uprooted. And so one time I had this prompt, and it might have been around Easter time, to go and watch this movie called The Son of Man. So it probably came out like 5-6 years ago. And my friend Emil, actually, I connected with him and we went out and, you know, we watched the movie, had dinner and stuff later. And, you know, you watch a movie about Jesus and it's like, you know, the ending, right? You're going in and you're gonna watch this. And so I was already kind of feeling a little like angst, but the prompt had come to, you know, to watch it and all that. So it was so beautiful because the actor that played the, you know, Jesus, when the whole crucifixion and all that was happening, I don't know if it was the photography or if it was the miracle in the mind, obviously, you know, Spirit was working with my mind. All I could focus on was his eyes. Like, that's all I saw, the light in his eyes. It was like, you just didn't have the awareness of the body. So you just kept seeing his eyes. Like when the apostles were watching him and he would see them as he was, you know, like carrying that cross and everything. It was just his eyes, just love. That's all I was seeing. And then there was the resurrection and, you know, the whole Beatitudes and all the beautiful teaching. So I came home and I went to bed with just that in my mind. And the next morning when I woke up, I had this message that came through. And it was saying to me, it felt like it was Jesus talking to me. And he was saying, my ministry does not lie in the crucifixion. My ministry lies in the resurrection. I am here. Where are you? I am here. Where are you? There is work to be done. And I remember writing that down and I remember sharing it with Patty and just like, you know, taking that message in. And it was so beautiful because it was like, you know, what that video said towards the end, Jesus is not asking for martyrs. He's asking for teachers. And then David talking about, you know, like the video had said, which is from the Course, you know, we all go through the world often feeling crucified and crucified, judged, judging ourselves, put upon, unfairly treated. sacrifice, you know, so much is being asked of me. Like, this goes in our mind all the time. And that message, this idea that the ministry and the, like, so it really helped me release so much, you know, and I had a really different understanding of the pain I was in. I really began to see that here's the pain and here's all this stuff underneath it. And that's what, where the healing needed to happen. And so it's like that upside down. So then I could look at it, and this belief in victimhood, belief in martyrdom, belief in suffering, punishment, guilt, unworthiness, like, you know, it was like this whole mess, but it needed to be looked at. It needed to be undone. And so, if we're to honor this message, it's not even like, yeah, we can start with like, let's retranslate these events. And that's a beautiful place to start. But then the practice is watching in ourselves when we, you know, that attracts us, you know, that attraction to guilt. And it can happen in simple things, like you're cooking and, you know, I feel like, oh, I don't have help, or, you know, I've got to do the dishes and I'm by myself, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So our willingness to say that, all right, we're asked to be teachers. My ministry lies in the resurrection, not in the crucifixion. I am here. Where are you? So if we want to find spirit, it's not in this space. It's here. But spirit can see where we seem to be and also give us the channel to come into where we really want to be, you know, because spirit understands both. So I just wanted to share that story. And now let me see. Oh, yes. Okay, Sean, if you would want to share a song now.
Love is calling. Are you ready to answer the call, to surrender the need to know what has been and will be? Live in the now. Give yourself to love. Join in the prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. Live in the name of love, be free. Do this in remembrance of me. Live in harmony. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Live in the now, in the name of love, be free. Love one another as I have loved you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Okay, Hazel says bellissimo. Okay, thank you. So let us enter into a space of stillness. And yeah, let's do that together. So just let yourself be easy, let yourself be comfortable. Adjust your posture, your surroundings, whatever you need to do to be comfortable. Let yourself breathe in however it feels good for you. We are joining in this beautiful willingness today to let ourselves receive whatever it is we need to receive today. It could be about what we have watched, about Easter, crucifixion, resurrection, or it could be something completely different. But it's always a love letter from the beloved that is being received. A love letter from the beloved that's waiting for us inside our hearts. Take some nice, easy breaths, letting yourself come into this moment. Bringing all of you here, nothing to be left behind. Nothing needs to be excluded. There's nothing you have to prove. There's no need to prove any worthiness. Nothing to be figured out, nothing to be analyzed. Just sinking deeper beneath the chatter into the stillness. On the surface, the ocean can feel as if there's too much activity, too much waves moving back and forth. But as you go deeper, there's a beautiful flow. A silence with the motion. So it is with our minds. We're not here to judge anything or fight anything or stop any thoughts. We're letting everything be. They're simply clouds. And we can invite Spirit, Jesus, the angels, your inner wisdom, your guide, higher power, however you relate to this space. To help you. I want to hear your voice, Spirit. I want to feel your love. Help me connect. The Beloved says, I am here with open arms. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I've always been here. Always I have been here. I've never forgotten you. Never abandoned you. Never judged you. Beloved says, let me undo all the ways you have prisoned yourself and shackled yourself. All the chains that you have bound yourself with. Let me undo every chain. Let me caress every wound, every hurt. Don't hide anything. Bring it all to me. This is your birthright. This is for you, this love. Let me wipe away your tears. Bring the darkness here, so the light can shine it away. Nothing you have to hide. I know you're tired, but you can rest here. Nothing you have to do. Nowhere you have to go. Yourself, just breathe. Washing away whatever needs to be washed away. We don't have to even figure it out. The Beloved says, I have waited. I knew you would come back. I kept this home always ready for you, always open, always available. Because I knew you would come back. And you never have to leave. You can always be here. Take me with you. We have never been apart. We have always been together. Let me help you see everything in your life in a new way. Let's allow the resurrection to truly come into your mind, where it is to come. That is where the healing has to happen. Cannot be found outside. The inner chambers of the heart, the innermost recesses of your being, has never changed. You are the love that you always have been and always will be. You are the light that always has been and always will be. There is not an iota of doubt about this. Beloved is saying, I guarantee this for you. Do not seek external validation. I created you. I know who you are. You may forget, but that can't change who you are. Let yourself remember this love and be bathed in this love. All your hurts and wounds and tears, let them be washed away. It is as if we are swimming in an ocean of love. No separation. All are one. Connected with love, by love, in love, and made of love. There is a song of gratitude that rings in the air. A song that all the hearts everywhere sing together. One voice in gratitude. In gratitude to remember the truth of who we are. In gratitude to know the truth of who we are. In gratitude.
Can you hear the music in the distance? Sweet melodies like raindrops gently falling upon your face. With each note you're carried to a better place. Have you heard the sound that love makes when a child smiles with laughter? So simple, the dance of life, every step flowing gracefully. Can you hear the music in the distance? A song takes flight with intention, giving birth to creation. In harmony, a melody is born. Have you felt the stillness of the night? Deep within you are the light. So precious, so beautiful, expressing life in perfect harmony. Can you hear the music in the distance? Every life is a song of love, blessing all with each note. Life unfolds without end, love plays on. Can you hear the music play? A symphony of love's desire to live and love, to laugh and smile. Every note will be sung. Have you heard the sound that love makes when a child smiles with laughter? So simple, the dance of life, every step flowing gracefully. Have you felt the stillness of the night? Deep within you are the light. So precious, so beautiful, expressing life in perfect harmony. Can you hear the music in the distance?